I'm stupid, you're smart. I was wrong, you were right. You're the best, I'm the worst. You're very good looking, I'm not attractive.
All right, as long as you're willing to admit that.
The boys are back.
Let's go, Heist. Let's go. I'm Jax. I apologize that it took us this long, but we have good reason, right?
I would say so. This is You Play to Win the Rose, a Bachelor podcast. He's Andrew Carter. I'm Ben Heisler. We've had a lot going on in the last couple weeks. I've got some irons in the fire with some really potentially interesting guests that we're hoping to bring to you guys very soon. But it's been a little busy, and normally we don't like to throw around the word emergency. But you, my friend, have been dealing with a little bit of emergency when it comes to the pet department.
Yeah, if you've been listening, I think we kind of said something way back when in one of the first episodes that my dog was going through ACL surgery, and the recovery was actually going great until Kansas City was hit with an ice storm that would not end for about a week and a half straight, and we have to take him out because of the ACL on a leash every time he goes to the bathroom with a harness, and even with that, he slipped, and now he fractured his tibia on the same exact leg, which is then going to make our recovery process for the ACL moved back another 2 to 3 months, and now he can't move for the next 7 weeks. It's horrible. So, yes, kind of emergency. A lot of life things have been happening, and we've been efforting some guests. So all things considered, I'm glad that we're back, but it's going to be nice to just focus on The Bachelor for a few minutes.
I don't blame you for one bit. Thoughts are going with you guys, and hope that Rizzo's recovery starts to get on the right track, because I know how it is for humans. I've never gone through this injury, but everything I've read in covering sports for a long time is that, you know, with the ACL injury, so much of it is about like trusting your instinct once the leg starts to build itself out, once the knee starts to feel better. I don't know what that's like for a dog. I don't know if everything is just so like instinctive. You just go and you just jump back into it once you're ready. So I hope that he feels like he can trust his instinct, and 6-7 months from now, you guys will be throwing the Frisbee around in the summertime and enjoying yourself.
You know we will. I'm determined. I cannot wait for June 1st, but it's going to be a long road, just like I think The Bachelor is about to get crazy with a long road ahead.
So there's a lot to dive into, and of course, we weren't here last week, but just going through the timeline and a couple things that stand out, we had our first cliffhanger episode from last week fall into this week as well, so things finally got settled. Was it a surprise to you that both Anyeka and Nicole, the two girls that were really involved in the middle of the drama that couldn't break free from it, ended up going away? A lot of people thought that he might keep one of them around. Turns out both of them are gone.
No, their argument was just way too out in the open, way too public, way too distracting, and really just awkward for everyone at that cocktail party, that part of you thought he was just going to tell them that they can go argue away from everyone else and just head home. Maybe they can argue together in the car, keep it going. But it was kind of funny how he just sat there and they didn't even acknowledge him sitting there. Like, they said, oh, hi, Colton. And then they just kept arguing. Like, it didn't stop anything, his presence, which was pretty interesting.
I thought that if they would have kept both of them around, they would have been a great 2-on-1 date contender. Because usually it's right around now, I think it's the next episode, maybe, that you start to see the 2-on-1 start to take shape, and we're starting to lose potential drama between different contestants on the show. You have Anyeka gone, you have Demi gone, you have Nicole gone. I'm not sure who's going to be fighting, and that's one of the questions we'll get to a little bit later. It's starting to feel like the drama's starting to move away, yet the show might be getting a little bit crazier. I'm not sure how that dichotomy exists, but here we are.
Well, I think the drama with the girls is starting to go away. As you were mentioning, some of the players are leaving that maybe didn't like each other, even though the tension is thicker. Like, they are all cracking, they're crying more, they're getting more serious on group dates, which is all expected. But while things are kind of minimizing on the competitive side for the girls, I feel like it's ramping up for Colton. I mean, he's got three girls in a row telling him to pick the right person and, you know, trust his gut and don't pick someone who's there for the wrong reasons, and he's starting to feel the pressure more. So it's almost like it's ramping up on his end, and it's getting really, really interesting for sure. But I guess Hannah B. and Kaylin are still in play for that 2-on-1 is what we predicted long ago.
Yeah, I think that's probably the likely scenario as far as when that date will ultimately go down. Was there any big takeaways that you had from the last two episodes that really stood out?
You know, I just touched on a little bit just with Colton and maybe his trust in the whole process. I think that's a huge takeaway for me because he seems to be at the point where he's trying to make smart decisions. And when girls tell him to pick the right person, you know, there are girls in the house that aren't there for the right reasons. And he thinks one of those people might be Demi. But after she leaves, there's another person saying the same thing. It's almost like for Colton, this is getting a lot more serious, and you'd expect it when the girls are starting to dwindle and he's imagining a future. So that's been a big takeaway for me, along with some of the trash talking and some of the honesty that the girls are giving out about other girls in the house. Yeah. I think they're starting to get a little more cutthroat when they're talking about the other women still in the competition.
Which is interesting to me because you would have thought that everything that we've learned from the last few episodes is that the cutthroat nature doesn't work for Colton. That, yeah, he's thinking about it, and then the reality is he'll go back and forth on it, but the people that have been causing and starting up the drama and talking about other people besides themselves in a relationship, that's hurt them. That's hurt their cause in the show. So I guess I don't see that happening if they feel like they're on the right track, but maybe, again, it's a desperation move down the road.
Absolutely, and it's really interesting because I think we're finally at the point where everyone remaining pretty much has had a one-on-one. Who left hasn't had a one-on-one? Because he let go of Sydney. She didn't have one. It was Katie who left as well. She never got one.
Kaylin's had a one-on-one. Cassie's had a one-on-one. Demi, who was eliminated, did not get a one-on-one. Hannah B had the first one-on-one. Hannah G just had hers. Heather had the one-on-one. Katie did not, and neither has Kerpa. So I think Kerpa might be.
No, Kerpa just had one.
She just didn't have one. I'm sorry. Yes.
And so did Tayshia. So I guess that's a big thing moving forward. The next one and one is someone's getting a double dip.
Yes. So again, that's crazy to think about that everybody that's left has had the one on one. I guess it's not really not that crazy, but the process by which people got eliminated. And again, we got to talk about Demi getting let go. I think we all expected her to probably not make the final two, final three. She was incredibly entertaining and one of our favorite personalities on the show. But did that last date surprise you? The group date where she kind of felt like she was, she could talk the talk but didn't really walk the walk as far as the fighting was concerned. I mean, I think she owned it. She said that I'm not really a fighter, and so there were other ways for her to compensate for that. But it certainly caught me off guard a little bit. I kind of thought she would throw some punches.
I think we were at the point in the game where girls know where they stand. They're seeing other girls get one-on-ones. They're seeing that maybe his eyes are wandering away from them and towards other people he has stronger relationships with. You saw that with Sydney. She couldn't really handle that part, and rightfully so. That's really tough. I mean, it's getting closer and closer, and you feel like you haven't even built the connection. That stinks. And so I think you saw people kind of getting in their own head, and Demi was just not up for that date. It was kind of the worst-case scenario for her interests at that time.
Right, but the thing about Demi, though, is that she went to Colton afterwards to try and make the move, and she was insinuating that she was going to try and take his virginity at that moment. Let's be honest, I don't think that would have been the time. Although, granted, I think in Caitlin's season with Nick, the two of them ended up poking up in that situation. So maybe it's possible that it could have happened, but that's pretty crazy to like there. I was thinking in my head, like all she had to say afterwards was like, I was going to have sex with you. And now you send me home. Like, what are you doing? But yeah, it'll be a bummer to have her off the show. A couple things that stood out to me. And I just want to pat myself on the back a little bit for just a quick second. Nobody had Onyeka becoming a villain. And that girl did not hold back anything on the way out. She was pretty proud of herself. And I don't know what was said from Nicole. I don't know how much validity there was to that, but did it feel to you like Onyeka was kind of like, all right, I got myself noticed on the show. Watch out. I made a statement here.
Yeah, I thought she played it really well from the start. And if you remember like the first episode, maybe it was the second, she pulled, was it Demi aside? And you kind of saw she was going to be this character that gets in the verbal altercations
that's
from the
right.
very beginning.
Yeah.
And it was kind of full circle that at the end of the show, that's what sent her home. But she never shied away from what she thought. Whether or not she was a bully, that you can't point to anything specific. And I almost agree with both. I agree with Onyeka that, like, I wasn't bullying you. You're just taking it that way. But I also agree with Nicole that she felt like Onyeka was trying to bewilder her and put her down. And if her mind, she felt like she was getting bullied,
yeah.
It's hard to disagree with it.
Sure.
I don't think there was anything egregious happening, but I think both of them had met their breaking point with each other, and what happened was bound to happen. So, yeah, she really did become a villain, especially to Nicole.
Also, one other thing, this is when my wife and I were watching it, I think more so last week with Colton and Cassie. She ended up falling asleep during the middle of the last episode, so she has some more catching up to do. She was kind of getting frustrated with how physical the nature of the relationship between Colton and Cassie was, and to a certain extent this week with Hannah G. Like, again, it's optics. It's the producer setting it up, so that's sort of what you focus on. I'm sure they're having some sort of conversation. To me, it's like, well, it's sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, if you don't have some sort of physical chemistry between Colton and the girls, like, you're going to lose out there. It's something that he clearly talks about, something that they talk about. So, to me, I was like, might as well enjoy it. Might as well have both of them be happy, and eventually you'll have plenty of time to talk later. Enjoy being in the middle of Thailand and Vietnam and get to know these two very attractive women that you're with. So I don't know if your wife feels the same way, that it just felt like that was all they were doing, that they weren't really talking. But to me, I didn't have a whole heck of a lot of problems with it.
No, I didn't really mind it, but it was interesting that both Cassie and Hannah G, their dates were just strictly all they were showing, like you said, was them making out or whatever. So it's really hard to know what their conversations were aside from the little dinner scenes that they had.
Right. And, which always feel sort of contrived anyway.
Yeah, they are definitely kind of set up. And we know that they have a lot more conversations at those dinners than they decide to show. But at the same time, it was kind of interesting. It's like, okay, I think Hannah G and I think Cassie are probably the top two at this point, but are they just setting us up to think that way? It's really an interesting game, because I think everything got flipped on its head now that Colton really doesn't trust what's going on within his own decisions anymore.
I think so too. All right, so before we end up going to our MVP and our bench warmer, we said goodbye to several of the ladies. We talked about Onyeka. We talked a little bit about Nicole. Katie ended up going home. We talked about Demi. Am I missing anybody that
Well, Elise left, and we're gonna get to her. I'm gonna mention her in a future segment. But yeah, that was obviously a big one on the first part of the two-part series.
Right, and then Sydney ended up leaving as well. So let's get to our MVP for the last couple weeks. Andrew, I'll kick things off with you. Who are you going with?
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Mine is Elise. I actually really thought the way she handled that situation, and we kind of saw it to an extent with Sydney, but, you know, you get into this knowing you're going to share a person amongst many others. You know you're dating a guy at the same time as a lot of other girls are. And I think you can tell yourself going into that situation that you're fine with that, but until you're actually living it, you don't really know. And I think Elise played it great in the fact that she didn't say, I'm leaving because I don't like you. I'm not leaving because I don't think you like me, kind of like Sydney did.
Yeah.
I'm leaving because the structure of the show does not allow me to get close enough to you to feel like I can accept a proposal at the end of this. And it hurts because I do like you. I wish we had more time, but the reality is we don't. And I think, I don't care if you say it's age, you know, age is just a number. I think her maturity really showed there in the way that she handled that situation. And for that, I give her huge props. And it sounds like we might be able to talk to her, so I'd love to get her thoughts on it after seeing that back. But for me, she was an MVP because a lot of times in the show, you see people do it, but not with the grace that she handled it.
I think that's a really good call, and that's a strong MVP candidate, especially for going over the last couple of weeks. I probably would have gone with her as well, but just to go in a little bit of a different route. Man, I got to hand it to Kerpa. I had zero faith in her ability to last. I made a joke about what's that scene from When Harry Met Sally? You know, like, you just, it's hard to yell out the name Kerpa, you know, in the act of very physical moments, but like, she's around and she has lasted. She got a one-on-one rose, you know. I to use that quote from Happy Gilmore, where he's trying to get Chubbs Peterson back on his side. He's like, I'm stupid, you're smart. I was wrong, you were right. You're the best, I'm the worst. You're very good looking, I'm not very attractive. Yeah, Kerpa, you made a fool out of me. And for that, I apologize. And because of that, I am naming you MVP of not only this week, but the last 2 weeks, you've stuck around despite a lot of people thinking you were only going to be a one and done. You turned into the four-year senior captain at your college basketball team instead of going the one and done route after everybody thought you were jumping to the NBA. So salute to Kerpa. You've done it well.
So I completely agree with you. I think everything you said is true, but let me kind of take a spin on what you were saying and compose a question to you.
Okay.
Do you think it's as much as the way she is as a person and how well the date went, which I think that was all great, and she showed a lot about herself, but is there 10% of it, is there 15% of it that is because he was given so much warning from the other girls that he kind of decided that I need to slow down a little bit on me thinking I know everything at this point. I know who I should be with. Do you think Kerpa got a little extra benefit of the doubt on that one and one because he had been told multiple times, like, be careful in what you're doing. Not everything has to be the shiny toy. And I feel like he was giving her more of a chance because of that.
That could very well be the case because that's not really sort of her personality of the show. And again, I think she's got a really good personality and she's a lot of fun, but
they're slower. It's going to take some
time. They're slower, no doubt about it. Like, she admitted that she has a hard time opening up every so often. So,
and her personality, like, she's funny, but she doesn't get overly bubbly. You really have to kind of force them out of her.
Yeah, so it's sort easy of more in the fun, show less to, romantic, too.
Yeah, so it's, like, easy in the show to pick the girls like Hannah G and Cassie who are all over you, but maybe you need to step back for a second and just look at these people as women and their personalities and slow down, and I think Kerpa benefited from what he went through.
I think that's a perfectly logical explanation for why she stuck around this long. And listen, give her credit for getting to this point. What about on the bench? Who are you throwing there as your bench warmer over the last couple of weeks?
I can't even. Can't even what? Even. Like, I just can't even. Oh, like you literally can't even. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, this one, strictly shout out to my wife, Lindsay. I love you so much. And she pointed this out so long ago, and it's about time that we address the situation. Hannah G is on my bench. Not because she's done anything wrong. I think she's actually going to go far. It's her kissing. Her kissing is my bench warmer. It's the way she eats his face. It's the way it's like, it's a little like a woodpecker peck sometimes. I don't hate it. I think she's gorgeous. I think any guy would do exactly what Colton's doing. And it's not even her. It's just them two when they kiss.
You guys but are both very high on her though.
No, I love Hannah G. Like, it's nothing. I just think for whatever reason when
she just needs a little time on the bench to sort of get this quirk thing.
Really, it's not even, you know, go to the bench, pull up some tape and just kind of see how it's going. And maybe just make a few minor adjustments like a pitcher and then you'll be having no hitters in no time. It's a little funny thing that we noticed and now I can't get it out of my head. So for that reason, that's time for some bench a little bit on the kisses.
So I'm going to use my bench warmer for somebody that was an MVP for both of us just a few weeks ago, and that's Kaylin. There was that moment right before Hannah G's one-on-one date where kind of out of nowhere, she just started trashing her and saying that she's only gotten so far because of her looks. And, you know, that sort of carried her throughout this, her entire time. And I'll say this with a preface. Because I understand that the Miss America contests are more than just about beauty and more about, you know, showcasing all these different types of talents and presenting yourself in a fantastic fashion, but you're still in a pageant. Like, that's still part of your worldview. And you can't tell me that there's not pageants that aren't based off of looks. So to use an old expression from a sports talk show that I listened to when I was a kid, where they would call somebody out for an act of hypocrisy, like, Kaylin, who you crapping? Like, you can't start attacking a woman for getting by with her looks after you were Miss North Carolina. What are you doing there? That doesn't add up.
Do you think now they're all starting to think that certain people aren't there for the right reasons, or they're only there for the show, or whatever they've been telling Colton, and it's not one person, it's multiple people, because people are saying it about the one person they don't like? Like, clearly, Kaylin, Hannah G rubs her the wrong way somehow. Well, when Demi said it, she clearly wasn't talking about Hannah G because she ended up hugging her goodbye, and they're clearly close friends. So I can't pinpoint this one person or maybe two people that no one believes are there for the right reasons. So to your point, it's like a lot of these girls could grab some bench right now to reflect on who they are as people and talking about others. Like, at this point in the game, think about yourself. There's a lot of trash talk going on, and I don't think a lot of it's warranted. To your point, if I wasn't joking around about the Hannah G thing, ultimately it doesn't matter. I'm just kidding. But like on a serious note, yeah, that rubbed me the wrong way, the way Kaylin was talking about her.
I'm with you there too. I'm just trying to think of like who those people could be, because if you're going through the entirety of the cast that's still there, right? So you have Hannah B, you have Hannah G, you have Cassie is still there. Scrolling down throughout the list, I think I mentioned Heather. Kirpa is still there. And then Tayshia, right? Did I get everybody?
Yeah, so here's my theory.
Who could it be?
No, here's my theory. I'm just going to throw it out there. It's probably way wrong.
Oh, I didn't mention Cassie.
Based on what we've seen, clearly Kirpa and Tayshia are really good friends. I feel like they believe they're mature. They go relationships a little slower. They're not as physical. But even though, you know, Tayshia's taken them aside, it's not that she's not. But I think they're maybe talking about Hannah B and Hannah G. They think they're immature. Well, Hannah B and Hannah G are friends, so that they wouldn't be saying that about each other. You know, Katie could be talking about Demi, and then Demi goes, and Demi could be talking about someone else. Like, at this point, I don't know if there's one or two people. Maybe it's just each person finding that one person they don't like, and they're just, that's who they think it is.
I think there's still the chance that maybe it's either Hannah B or Kaylin, from the idea of earlier drama from within the show. And again, kudos to both of them for actually squashing it. At least that's how it's been the last couple of weeks. Like, we haven't seen them sort of really back in the spotlight for drama until this week when Kaylin was on camera with those comments about Hannah G. So I still think maybe it's just sort of their youth and the cattiness that they had between the two of them that maybe rubbed some of the girls the wrong way. It hasn't been an issue lately, but again, you know, the show moves in such a weird, strange speed.
They make you think one thing and then they do something else. And
right.
It's why I'm worried, not worried, it's why I think maybe it's Cassie. Maybe it's a front runner we're not thinking about. Maybe she dropped some bombshell, or there's some rumor, some boyfriend she dated just a day before the show. Like, I don't know. But I feel like they're leading up to something like that in the previews.
Cassie would be a stunner. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. If that ends up sort of being where this thing goes, I don't think either of us would have seen that coming. Unless you get, like, one little clip from that sort of allows you to feel that way or another. And maybe that's good as we transition into our film session. This is the part of the show where we look at maybe something that you might have missed or a minute or two of the show that really caught our attention. So is there a film session from you for the last couple weeks that really stands out?
You're good at your job, Heiss. That was a great transition. We're talking Cassie. My film session, way to go. You knocked it out of the park. It's the preview at the end of this episode, and they show all the drama. One of the takeaways is Cassie crying in the back of a car. Now, we know the back of the car a lot of times means someone is going home and it's the interview on the exit.
Right.
I'm not saying that's what happens, but if it is, that's, like you said, it's a shocker, but maybe she's on a date and she leaves the date early because of some information. It creates drama. Maybe, you know, or she goes home. It's like, where else would she be in the back of the car looking at a camera crying? That caught my attention. And I think we both believe Cassie's a final two. I still would put my money on it, but now I'm second guessing it. And it was a really good tease. So that's my film session, because I'm wondering when that moment happens.
So my film session was sort of it was a passing moment, but it was between two candidates that you wouldn't expect to potentially trash talk, but they did. There was one moment between Kirpa and Tayshia, and I think it was right before the rose ceremony began, where they were kind of looking and talking to each other and standing right next to each other and saying, like, I think it's, you know, we're pretty sure it's going to be us two at the end. And the other one nodded their head in agreement. Like, I don't think any of us have looked at them as favorites in this race. And again, maybe they're just confident. Maybe they feel that both of their relationships are really, really strong with Colton and haven't really put it together and haven't seen what we've seen with his relationships with the other girls. But that caught me off guard, man. Like, it either felt to me like they were just confident in what they had, or it was the producers trying to take that and spin that into saying, like, we're going to make sure that we're there at the end. Or, you know, we're the ones that we can start stirring up some shit. So I think there might be something there. I don't think they would have used it if it wasn't going to come into play in a later episode. And now that we're down to seven, and now that we're starting to see a lot of these relationships really start to develop, man, if they're going to start to play for these major roles and have hometown visits down the stretch, wouldn't surprise me if something comes up and that scene is something that we look back on.
Yeah, it's crazy because
I go back and forth. One second, I think I know who's there at the end. I know who it's between. And then now I'm, after this last 2 weeks, I'm just like, it could be anyone. I don't know anymore. Partially because I can't read Colton anymore because he's kind of freaking out about everything.
Yeah.
So I feel like that could take a turn.
I think so, too. And I'm curious as to, they keep showing in the preview, like, him climbing over and jumping over the fence like he's done. Like, it looks like that's still in California. So...
Is this the first season ever where it ends? It just ends because he quits? Like, it's not going to happen that way. But it's not going to happen that way. But to your point, it's like, I don't know anymore. It seems like something happens where you know a favorite is going to screw up at some point, a major screw up.
Yeah, and potentially one of our final four picks as well. All right, before we get out of here, one of our staples of You Play to Win the Rose is we take a look at a couple prop bets for the following episode. And we had some good ones from last week, and a few of them I think are always good to carry over. So we'll start with the number of cries. You're thinking that this is going to be a very emotional episode coming up here, right? So if I'm setting the over-under at 3.5 cries, do you think you're going over or under for next week?
I'm pretty sure when we were in Vietnam, we hit the over. I always like picking the over, especially on travel destinations because of jet lag and just emotions and things like that. Are we back in California next week? Does it seem that way? Or we're not sure?
He climbs the fence, and it looks like it's on the Bachelor property. But again, that could be, you know, later on for hometowns.
Okay, here's my I have an answer for you. I think a lot what they showed in the preview is coming in later episodes. I think next week is the bounce back week where he feels happy. He starts getting close to a few people again, and they're really teasing us for a few episodes from now.
Okay.
I'm going to go under just because I think it's time for him to step back, relax, and enjoy a few of these relationships.
Okay, the contrarian play there. I think that's a good call. Just because we've hit the over in the last couple weeks, I think I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to take the under there as well. We've had this question before. For those of you that have been paying attention to the show, you had a chance to grab Onyeka as the next villain at 5-1. You could have really cashed in. But now that the field is starting to get smaller, who's going to be the next contestant to become the villain on the show? There's got to be one of them almost at all times. Is it, and I made, based on that comment in the film session, Tayshia to me is now the favorite. I have Tayshia at -250. And then I have Kaylin at 3-1. I threw Hannah B back in there because, listen, at some point when she's done trying to become a monster, you know, maybe the monster within her takes over again. I have her at 6-1 with the field at 2-1. So you paying for the favorite here? Do you think Kaylin has a chance to jump back in? Is Hannah B good value? Where are you going here?
I like my value with Kaylin because she sounded like she was going to rat on someone at the cocktail party before Colton decided he wasn't going to have it, and she didn't have that moment that she's going to bring something up to him.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So if she has an opportunity to speak to him and she's feeling a little insecure about the time she's had recently, I just think all things considered based on the history of the show and where we're going, only because of where you set the odds, I would like to pick the favorite, but I'm trying to win some money, so I'm going to go with Kaylin.
There's a part of me that wants to take those great odds on Hannah B at 6-1 because I think at any moment something could happen and that side of her can come back out again, and to get that at 6-1 feels pretty good. But I'm also thinking about what you said about Cassie in the back and, you know, whether or not something happens there. So the field of 2-1, maybe that's the way to go here. So I as much as I want to take Hannah B at 6-1, I think I'm going to take the field because something's hiding something, and we're not sure where it's going to be. Last one. And I was reading this, and I want to give a proper credit to Roger Sherman over at TheRinger.com. And they write and they cover everything about The Bachelor. And this is something that was really interesting. He said that for the first time, you know, more women are leaving the show and leaving as late as they are on Colton's season. He also talks about how the fact that 86% of the remaining seven contestants are blondes and that blondes historically over the last several years have ended up winning on The Bachelor. But this is very, very interesting to see the fact that more women are leaving Colton's season later than ever before. So here's the prop bet. Will another contestant leave Colton on her own instead of being eliminated? I think we've gone too far in the season for anyone else to leave on their own. So I'm going to set yes at +450, meaning you win $450 if you bet 100. No is an overwhelming favorite at -675. So do you spend on the favorite here? Or do you think there might be one other contestant that ends up leaving on her own? And again, just to make sure and to preface this, leaving on their own is not the same as getting kicked off. So if we find out that some of them did have a boyfriend and they were hiding it, that's not leaving on their own.
Yeah, that's tough. I think the answer is no. No one else will leave again on their own. I like that you're saying we're so late in the game. I would think there might be a chance Kirpa still would be that person, just because of the way their relationship is progressing. I'll say this. I think it's happening for two reasons. I think the show's been on for so long that people have watched it for so many years that they feel comfortable now that if I'm not in the running, there's no reason to stay here. I've already made my fame this far in the show, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the second reason is partially because of Colton. I would think, and not even to his fault, maybe it's to his, he's just making it a little obvious who he likes. And if you know you're there and the guy doesn't really like you and you're traveling and you're tired and changing outfits, eventually you're just probably like, what am I doing here? I mean, he clearly likes this person more. I think he's been a little more obvious about his interests than other guys in the past.
To us, I don't know if it's necessarily to them.
True.
But I think that point is perfectly fair.
So my answer though is yes. I don't think.
Okay, so you're gonna lay it on the favorite then.
Yep.
That's the strong play. I just think we're too late in, and even somebody like Kirpa, you have that conversation with her and Tayshia saying they think they're gonna be there at the end. So why would she all of a sudden change face now? I don't think she will. So you and I both are going to go ahead and lay the dollars on that final prop bet. And there you go. It's another edition of You Play to Win the Rose. We will hopefully be back very soon. If not over the course of this week, we will be back again following the next episode with all of your favorite segments. And again, lots of fun guests hopefully scheduled in the next possible week or two. That are going to give us a little bit of inside looks into everything that goes on that show, either from seasons past or possibly even this season as well.
Yeah, that's just what I wanted to say. Tune in. We might drop something this week. I think we have a great guest lined up. We're just waiting to put our ducks in a row and get approval. They're ready to roll. So it should be a really good week. And if we don't have it, we might drop it as far as that interview with next week's episode.
The easiest way to find out is to do something very simple, which is subscribe to the podcast and Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. We send out the link on Anchor each week because it'll connect you to wherever you subscribe to your podcast. If you use Pocket Cast or Anchor or Overcast or anything else besides the traditional ones, it hooks you up there as well. Also, if you are listening to the show and you've enjoyed the stuff that we have put out, please take a second to rate and review us. And then share it with your friends, whether it be through your Instagram story, on Twitter. It makes a big difference. It helps us put together even more shows. And then we can also sell the idea of getting more of these guests on by saying, look how many people are sharing this post. So either way, we are here for you to make this show a lot of fun. So for Andrew, I'm Ben. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for being a part of You Play to Win the Rose. We will be back very soon with another episode.
Peace. Take a piece of tinsel and put it on the tree. Turn a slice of melon and pretend that you still love me. Car and cruise the land.